gathering with lots of different ages. So we'll just leave it at that. And as I begin today, I want to begin with just asking you a couple of questions. So we'll start with, when is the last time that you heard from God? Was it this morning? Or sorry, rhetorical. Was it this morning? Maybe it was on the weekend. Maybe last week or last month. Maybe a year ago. But when was the last time that you feel like you really heard from God? And what was it? What did he say? What was it that Jesus spoke to you? And how did he speak to you? Was it when you were reading the word that a word or a passage or a chapter or a character jumped off the page? Was it while you were worshiping alone, maybe here? Maybe it was when Rob or somebody else was preaching? How did he speak to you? Was it when you were just walking in nature? Or sitting quietly, or even watching a movie. Those powerful movies can speak to the heart. When was the last time he spoke to you? What did he say? How did he say it? And how do you know it was him? You see, if you're going to spend any time with me and you get close to me, there's three questions that I love to ask. What is Jesus saying to you? What are you doing about what he's saying to you? And then, how are you doing? How's it going? The beginning of this year, January, actually it was last year, I was asked to preach at Hillside. That was the place that I had pastored for a long time, for 10 years. And in January, they had asked me to come back on January 13th. And while I was preparing for it, I would affirm what Darren said. I don't enjoy this. I would rather sit across a table and or sit at a fire with you and just talk so we can go back and forth. They asked me to preach, and I was preparing. And as I was walking, because I like to pace, I'm not totally allowed to pace too much in my own home. It rattles the family. But anyways, as I was pacing, before I began prepping, I was like expressing, okay, Jesus, you know, I don't like this, but I'm willing to do this. Would you please help me? And as I was pacing, I heard, let's do this together. Now you have to understand that I didn't hear that in my head. I didn't hear an audible voice. I didn't even hear it in my heart. Somehow I heard it down here. In such a deep part of me that I didn't even know existed. Let's do this together. And as I was walking, and as soon as I heard that, I stopped. And because it was so real, I said, time out. If you're willing to do this together, then I have a conversation later with my wife that I want to do that together. And I have some things at work that are causing me stress. I want to do that together. And I just started rattling off, then if you're that serious, I want to do everything together. And so I went on the Sunday. I preached, and the Lord was with me. I had the conversation that night with my wife. The Lord was with me, and life went on. On April 20th, lots of you guys were at the Mud Run. Thank you for your support and for those who ran, and we just appreciate it. But during that time, it was an awesome day, beautiful sun, and there was absolutely no injuries except one that I know of. And it was near the end of the day when I was just trying to figure out who is the last person who's running, and I ended up rolling my ankle, and I dropped for about 10 minutes to get my breath. Stuck my ankle in the river. That felt good. And then I went home, and the next morning I woke up and I couldn't walk on it. And I needed crutches, and so I had said, Krista, you and the boys go to church. I'll just wait for the crutches. And I sat out on my deck, and I just said, okay, Jesus, how are you trying to get my attention? What are you saying to me? And I just heard one part of the body isn't intended to carry that much weight. Like when I said, let's do this together back in January, I didn't just mean me and you. I meant me and you and my family. Here's the crazy thing. This is crazy. Like back in November, I had a plan. I had a really good plan. I had a plan to form a team for the mud run now. I had a plan to form a team, gather a team, and together with that team, work together. But I didn't communicate that. I kept saying, oh, I have time. I got other things I need to do, and I kept putting it off until like 3 weeks. I'm like, whoa, we got to take care of something here. Man, we pounded it out. And I ended up carrying way too much weight. Have you ever had a good thought or a really good idea? Or better yet, have you ever had a God thought or a God idea? Oh, and only if you acted on it. Yeah, like it would have changed your circumstance, your situation, and your life. See, I know what it feels like to have good thoughts. I know what it feels like even to have God thoughts and not to act on them. Not to take those thoughts and put any action to it. See, part of God's purpose for me, part of God's purpose for us is to do this together. And I really thought I was a quick learner, but I'm not. I'm not a quick learner. God has a purpose for you, each and every one of you. And I know that most of you in here believe that. But do you know how God accomplishes his purpose? In Isaiah, I absolutely love this. In Isaiah, it reveals what I believe. God says that he accomplishes his purpose through communicating. In Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 11, this is what he says. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. On January 1st, I make it a habit to say, hey, Jesus, what do you want to work on this year? And I really do feel like he said, Mary, I want you to work on your communication. And it was interesting because I didn't come across this until later in January, where I realized, wow, I love the idea that God's thoughts are higher than mine. His ways are higher than mine. How much higher? Well, as high as the heavens are above the earth. Like, his thoughts are so much higher, they're worlds apart from a different planet. They're foreign. But I want to know his thoughts and thank God that he longs to share his thoughts with us. But God's purposes are accomplished and achieved by him communicating his thoughts to us. And I don't know if you know, but every action that you take is first a thought. And your life moves in the direction of your most consistent, dominant thoughts. So if you don't like the direction that your life is going, you have to change the way that you think. I believe that everybody believes that they communicate better than they actually do. I do. We all do believe that we communicate better than we actually do. I want to have some fun here this morning and just show you communication and the process of it. So we're going to play telephone communication. I need 8 of you. Doesn't matter what age you are. I just need the first 8 to come on up here and just to stand behind me. So 8 of you can come on up. Some young and old. Would love to have young and old. And you can just get right behind me, right like that. There you go. Awesome. And Yeah, and then we want a few more because three doesn't work. Darren, thank you. One of you guys. Thank you very much, Rick and Chuck. All right, guys, leading the way. All right, there we go. Two more. Thank you, Lisa and Elizabeth. All right, so all we're going to do is we're going to play telephone communication. I am going to start with, I believe it will be Lisa on the very end. I am going to act. Yeah, you can head right there. I'm going to, the idea is that everybody's going to face this way. I'm going to act out something fairly simple. And then she is going to tap Elizabeth or whoever's next on the right shoulder. They're going to turn around. You're going to act it out for her. And then she's going to continue to pass it down, and we'll see how close to the original it is when it comes to Doug. All right. All right, so Lisa, yeah, you can look at me. And all right. Yeah, now you can show, now everybody watch Doug do what he does, and then I'll do what it originally, and you can show it for these guys, and then I'll show you the original, see how far off you were. All right, good job, guys. All right, and here was the original, Marty Bennett getting onto a bike, putting on a helmet, starting up the motorbike, and going. All right, so good work, guys. Give them a big hand. We all believe that we communicate better than we actually do. But this is such a powerful picture, I think. It's a powerful picture of how far we've gone from the original. The best version of you is the one that God originally thought up in his mind, and the one that he spent 9 months with you in the womb, putting you together and communicating what he wanted. And God's purpose for you is that you would be conformed into his image. His purpose for you is that you would live in light that he is a heavenly father and that you are a loved child of God. That you would actually live in light of that. But we have come so far away from what we're called to be. And so what God does is he loves to communicate. He'll communicate to you, right? He accomplishes his purpose through communicating. So he's constantly using nature, using worship, using the word, using people, using circumstances, using whatever he can to communicate to you. And the primary objective of his communication is to reveal who he is. and who you are, and then where we are to combine that with faith and live as though it's true. Just live in light of it. Two images. One, right here in this scripture, is of a seed. His word is like water that comes down. In Matthew 13, it says his word is like a seed. The principle in there is that all biblical truth comes to us in the form of a seed. Like, I wish that biblical truth came as a fully mature tree producing fruit today. I wish that that day in September when he said, let's do this together, that I fully grasped that, understood it, and lived in light of it. But I did for a couple of days, and then I forgot. And I hurt my ankle really bad, and he reminded me, let's do this together. I said, let's do this together. And what you originally thought, let's do this together, just me and you, no, let's do it together, the family. The other picture is of a house. Matthew 7:24. I actually really, really love this. I know it well, but have just recently returned to it. Matthew 7:24. You can turn if you want, but I'm just going to read it, and you can listen to this very popular parable that Jesus speaks. He says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. I do hope that you can hear God, that you have an answer to when is the last time you heard God speak to you? What did he say? I hope you have an answer. If you don't, I would strongly encourage you, if you feel like I can't hear God, that I strongly encourage you to go and invite somebody older who's mature in their faith to just journey with you and talk to them about it. But if you can say, yes, this is what God has been talking to me about, I think that's really good. But Jesus says it's those who hear and put into practice. Not just those who hear, but those who hear and put into practice are like wise men and women who build their house upon the rock. I want to share a little illustration with you. Imagine with me that there was a village. 500 years ago, there's this village. It's about the size, geographically, of Rosedale. It's only about 5,000 people in it, of all ages. And 500 years ago, all it looked like was they had tents and huts and shacks to live in. That's it. And imagine lots of storms came through and blew the houses over and caused and wreaked havoc. And then imagine, all of a sudden, this rugged businessman shows up to town. And he says to the people, to the village people of Rosedale, you don't have to live like this. You actually could live and build, live in houses. Houses? What is this houses you speak of? Oh, why don't you come with me? Come with me. I will help you. I'll give you knowledge. I'll give you the tools, and even I will help you build the houses. And imagine that 100 of them said, you know what? I'll do that. And so 100 out of 5,000 went, and they learned about what a house looks like. They learned to draw up blueprints. They learned how to use these tools, and they relied on the help of this teacher businessman to help them. And then can you imagine, scattered throughout that little village, in a year or two, you have 100 houses, and then you're hit with another one of these storms that blow everything down and cause lots of issues and leaking? How do you think the other people are going to respond? They're probably going to, if they haven't already, notice those houses. And there's a really good chance that they go and say, hey, listen, I don't want to live like this anymore. Can you help me know how to live or build like you do? Yeah, I don't think it would take very long for that entire community to go from living in tents, shacks, and huts to houses all over. But imagine this scene. Imagine the same scene, and imagine the business owner comes in to town and he says, you don't have to live like this. You could actually live in houses. I'll give you the knowledge and the tools, and I'll provide you with the help. And imagine 100 of them went away, and 100 of them got real excited, and 100 of them went back to their lot and backed in the big truck of material and tools and everything they needed, and they just piled it up by their tent and just went on living. And what if they said, oh, Mr. Businessman, we just need to know a little bit more. We just need a little bit more material before we can actually start building. I think it's a picture of the North American church. I wonder if it's a picture of our church. I wonder if it's a picture of my life. Truth is, I had, for most of my life, collected so much material. And I just kept collecting material and collecting material that I actually could probably build a couple of houses. But those houses weren't even me. How would you describe those people of Rosedale with all the materials to build and just not building? I'd probably describe them the same way that Jesus does. Just foolish. It's foolish. I can relate to being foolish. I can relate to hearing, to actually knowing and not doing. I can relate to hearing God and obeying one time, right? One and done, instead of putting into practice what he's talking to me about in my identity. I failed for a long time to put into practice, to actually train or to build something permanent. So let me ask you here, is there any of you, and there may be, but is there anybody in this room, and again, it's rhetorical, is there anybody in this room that believes that from start to finish, without any help, you could build your own house? Now maybe there are some here that do have the skills from start to finish, without asking for any help, to build your own house, to dig your own hole, to put up your own foundation, to do your own electrical, to do your own frame, to do your own roof, to do it all. But at what cost? Is there anybody here who believes that you can live the Christian life that God has called you to alone? All by yourself, without any help. Is there anybody in this room that really believes that you can actually get to where God is calling you to? That you can be who God's calling you to? You can do what God's calling you to? You can go where God's calling you to? All by yourself. All on your own. If right now you're journeying alone, then either the vision for your life is a tent. Like anybody can put up a tent by themselves. You might need somebody who's passing by. Hey, can you stop for a second and just help me put that? Thank you, and they're gone. But to build a house, to build the kind of life that God's calling you to, you need help. We cannot do this alone. Let's go to the other side, Jesus said. I today wanted to preach a sermon I preached a long time ago because it was easier. Hey, it was already done. So I started rereading it, and he just said, let's go to the other side. So I realized he had something else on his heart and on his mind. And I asked him, what do you want to do this morning? What is it that you want to do? Because if I'm going to get up here, out of my comfort zone, then I'm not going to do it without you doing something. And it's just not worth it to me. What do you want to do this morning? He said, I want you to leave your old thinking and old ways behind. Okay, let's go to the other side. Mark 4:35 and Matthew, Mark. Mark 4:35, again, a popular story from the Gospel of Mark. I believe it's also found in Luke. But it reads that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up. Now, I don't know if I've ever been in a furious squall. Oh, wait. I've been married 20 years. Yes, I have. I've been in a few of them, but I digress. I just wanted to connect with some of the men, right? Personally connect. All right, let's find that. Again, the furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern. And what was he doing? He was sleeping on a cushion. Well, the disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? I believe that where Jesus is calling me, I believe that where Jesus is calling you, and I believe that where Jesus is calling us is going to require faith. And faith is simply belief in action. That's it. You believe God is with you? Then practice acting like that. You believe that God is really with you, then practice talking as though he's really with you. Do you believe that God is with you? Then as you go to school, practice walking as though he's with you, Tucker. You really believe that God is good? Then practice acting as though God is good. Practice talking as though God is good and living as though God is good. Do you really believe that God is in control? And just practice acting and living and talking as though he's really in control. Do you believe he's gracious? Do you believe he's generous? Do you believe he's kind? Then put into practice, live as though that's true. And it's not one and done. It takes practice. It takes practice. I love that song Darren sang. As far as the east is from the west, so far are my transgressions. That's powerful. Do you really believe that you're forgiven? Then practice acting like it. As soon as you sin, don't run from him, run to him. That changed my life. As soon as I sinned, I started running to him, and I honestly thought I would run into this, like a couple of elbows, but I didn't. I ran into this. And then I was like, who are you? Like, are you really that kind? Are you really that good? And I got to know him as my Savior. He's awesome. Leanne Payne says an awesome quote I love. She says, the problem with most Christians is they fail to make a decision about sin. That's the problem with most Christians. They just fail to make a decision about sin. So on August 14th of this summer, I went to Coquitlam to see a mentor who actually, and I'll just say this, because I am a slow learner. When I started at Hillside, this guy came up to me and he said, Marty, he didn't say this, but it's like, I got tons of letters and things behind my name. I'm really experienced. People pay a lot of money to see me. But Marty, if you want, I will mentor you for free. I was like, I'm not sure I really need that, but thank you. But then I did. I decided, 6 months in, I thought, I'll go. And he had written out some thoughts and observations about me. There were six of them. I remember a few. Hey, Marty, I see that you're judgmental. I see that you're proud. And there were some others. If I remembered them, I would share. And I sat there and I was like, I don't really see this. Like, I couldn't see. And so then 10 years later, I resigned from being a youth pastor, and I called him up and I said, hey, would you help me start my own life coaching business? He said, sure. So I sat down and, 5 minutes, and I was like, I'm not ready. Would you please mentor me? It took me a long time. But God's been using him, and not just him, many others, to transform me. And so I went to him on August 14th, and he just said, how are you doing? And I started talking, and after 3 minutes, he said, all I hear, Marty, is feelings, feelings, feelings. Where's your faith? And a light went on. And a light went on so bright that I saw it. I said, I saw that I actually had a plan. I literally had blueprints of a life some things that I wanted to start doing, but I hadn't started yet. I knew that earlier this year, God had called me to eliminate everything that steals my energy and to find things that do replenish my energy. Because he had given me a call and I needed energy to do that, but not just energy to, like, I knew that I just didn't need physical energy to do what God's put on my heart, but I actually needed energy to get into a position so that I could actually get to know and rely on the Spirit. So, we're wrapping up here shortly, but I want to share a couple of things. I came away from August 14th, just something shifted. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to put into practice not something new, but what I already know. I'm actually going to go with the help of the Holy Spirit and not take all the information I have, not take all the material I have, but would you lead me to that one or two things that you want me to work on right now, that you actually want me to take that lumber and start to make and put a wall, and I'm just going to do it. So I started with, let's do this together. I don't know what happened, but I wake up every day now, and I have a rhythm of drinking water as soon as I get up, and I don't like drinking water in the morning. But here's what I realized. I had a plan, and I did it inconsistently, and I did it only when I felt like it. Drink water, turn on worship and workout, and none of you, even you old guys, would consider what I do as a workout, but that's fine. It gets the blood going, right? I'm not trying to go anywhere, but work out. Then I speak out God's words that he has spoke to me to remind myself. I go for a walk and I look at my week, but I want to tell you, I would do that, and I'd wake up some days and I'd be like, I just don't really feel like it. And so instead I would get a book in a cozy chair, and 20 minutes later, I'm sleeping. And something shifted. I just said, okay, I'm going to do it. And some of these physical things that I've said, I'm going to do them, I do them whether I feel like or not, and as I'm doing them, it's also a spiritual thing, because one of the things that I've realized is that God has called me to be and to do stuff, but I can get very overwhelmed. And as soon as I get overwhelmed, I immediately withdraw and retreat so that I can, what? Just look over the plans, look at what material I have, so that I actually can come out and present, hey, and just present myself as really competent. But he said, hey, Marty, I want us to go to the other side. And I'm telling you, what he's calling me to, I can't even explain this other than instead of retreating and to my own comfort zone, he said, you can either go to your comfort zone or you can know my comforter. Like you can't know them both. And I was like, okay, then I want to know your comforter. And so since August 14th, I have been overwhelmed a lot. But I have stayed right there in the anxiety and stuff and said, you are my ever-present help in time of need. And I'm staying here. And I know his comfort. And I am trusting him to help me know what is my next step. Not the 100 steps, because that's what I would love to know, but just what is that next step? What does it look like just to stay with you right here and right now? So Jesus goes to the other side with his disciples. He encounters a man who's filled with many demons. He sets him free. The people plead, can you please leave this area? The man who's set free begs Jesus, will you please let me come with you? And Jesus says, no, go back to your family and tell them how good the Lord has been to you. And we know that that man did go to his home and to his family and share about what God had done, because it wasn't without effect. The next time Jesus goes to this area, in Mark 7:31, people bring him a deaf and mute man. They heal him, and there's such a crowd that gathers, and he feeds them. 4,000 of them in that area, where they're like, get out of here. And all of a sudden, because of the testimony and the sharing of the man back to his family, the people are ready, and that whole region gets fed and are hungry for Jesus. So I want you to imagine with me. And this is now we're landing the plane. Imagine with me that we did this together. Did what together? We went to the other side together. What do you mean the other side? Well, just imagine we just heard Jesus together and put into practice what we heard. Just imagine that. Imagine that we committed to intentionally and consistently putting into practice what we heard and truly believe. Not that we would build a huge house overnight, but start with one thing. Imagine that we're so committed to that, and then we were committed also to just gathering every once in a while, maybe once a month, and not just the old, and not just the young adults, and not just the youth, but and not just the kids, but we all gathered, and we ate together. And then we just shared with our family, blood and extended family, how good the Lord has been to me. We shared that, man, God has been saying this, and I've been putting it into practice, and I couldn't do it alone. I needed the help of my sister or brother. And we would gather and share and go out and all over Chilliwack. Houses with strong foundations were being renovated so that the world out there, when the storms hit, would stand up and take notice. And Jesus Christ would be known because you know him and you're following him. And following looks like hearing and practicing. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we want to be the kind of men and women that go out and live among tents and shacks and huts, not judging them, but revealing you to them. Earning a place in their life to be able to say, you don't have to live like that. Let me show you and tell you how much the Lord has done for me. Father, I'm asking in this moment that you would ask us, all of us, two questions. In a sense, Jesus, what are you saying to us? And what are we going to do about it? Now, Jesus, what are you saying to me and to us, and what are we going to do about it? In Jesus' name, amen.